to the Health and Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Mika Laurie, a functional nutrition and behavior change specialist, and I am completely obsessed with two things. One, simplifying complex health issues so everyone can achieve optimal health. And two, sharing the things that empower all of us to leave this world a little better than we found it. Here, each week, I'll bring you an empowering message or an inspiring person to help you get healthy, feel happy, and straight up love your life. Thanks for listening today. Now let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am so grateful to have you join me today. I have a fantastic guest from way across the other side of the world, a place that is just near and dear to me, and I'm super excited to have her join us. Kay, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I love these kinds of conversations.
They're the best, right? You just get to connect and hear new things, and I love it. So I'm excited to have you here. So you have been working with women for the last 30 years or so in kind of a coaching healing capacity. Can you talk me through like your backstory and how you got into that and how you got to where you are today?
Wow. Yes. So, long story short, this sort of called me. It's not something that I necessarily sat back and put my hand up and chose. And probably all started really because of a car accident when I was about 18. Wow. Physical pain that I, no one was able to really address. My mother, bless her, back in the time said, why don't you go learn to meditate? Because that'll de-stress. Because, living in pain all the time is quite stressful. And I learned to meditate with my eyes open, which is a powerful technique.
Yeah.
And I suppose you'd call it a spiritual experience. I sort of met my God. I'd always been uncomfortable with that word. So you can replace it, anyone in your audience can replace it, spirit, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I met my God, eyes wide open. And I suppose that sort of sent me on a journey of exploration. I'd always had an internal voice my whole life that had guided me. And one thing led to another. I was traveling around Australia with my first husband and my child at the time, who was one. I found myself just walking down a street in Cairns in the tropics and just going up this staircase. And my husband's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Don't really know." And this woman came out. I ended up in this beautiful little sort of bookshop. And this woman came out. She'd been with a client, and we sort of locked eyes, and she said, "Oh, you're here to see me." And I'm like, suppose I am. What do you do? Anyway, she did the most profound reading, and she said all this stuff to me, and she described rooms I'd stayed in, things I'd gone through, and then what was to come. And that was, you'll be working with lots of people, your phone, you'll write a book, you'll do this. And I'm like, don't know, I can't see that.
But yeah.
The final words she said to me were, "You've got this incredible ear and you don't really listen." So anyway, I came out and was quite blown away because of being so descriptive and so detailed about previous things. So it led me on a journey. Basically, I was walking the street and I was recapping to my husband, and when I said about this incredible ear, that voice I've heard internally all my life said, "Don't you realize I'm guiding you?"
Oh my gosh.
And I just stopped, and it was just that knowing moment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so that led me on a journey to, want to continue to meditate and explore and learn more. And I got involved with a group where the guy really didn't know what he was doing. And long story short, got us involved with Ouija board one night, and all this stuff was happening, and his children were getting disturbed, and he lost his cool, and he just turned around to me and said, "You take over."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, the voice came and it would just told me how to clean everything up, and I decided then that wasn't the group for me.
Yeah.
And people decided that wasn't the group for them either, and they asked if they could come to my house and do meditation. And things sort of grew from there, and it kept getting bigger. And I'm doing a really quick sort of story here. Thing you know, I'm basically being booked for talks, and I kept seeking out other teachers who I experienced not everyone in that field is as loving as they say they are. And I experienced bullying, really. And it was beautiful because it forced me back to keep listening to this voice that was guiding me and teaching me. And then a healing modality started because I'm a shamanic healer as well.
Yeah.
And then it sort of branched out into working, you know, doing some stuff corporately, one-on-one. I'm very eclectic. So there was sort of that business side that got taken into corporate in mindset and empowering ourselves, because leadership for me sort of is that internal leadership. And, yeah, it grew. Then I had another company take me on as a wealth coach, and I did sort of the mindset aspects, and they ran women's retreats, and it really just sort of grew from there. So, and then people would come to me also then for that coaching element. So it was a mix of doing the energy work, meditation, which to me is a foundation of all change, and sort of all the mindset. And I just have that knack of knowing what's going on for individuals. So then incorporating everything that I'm taught, and I'm qualified as a master life coach. I'm qualified as a trainer. But I actually gave it up after about 20 years and just put it to the side, as I had a calling in my 40s to go out into the workforce. And I think it was because I needed to grow. I needed a challenge. And I spent 10 years out in the workforce. I moved sort of into management and sales and team building, and again, experienced a lot of bullying from teams, from upper management. And I kept moving and progressing quite quickly. My husband always said to me, gosh, I think you're making up for 20 or 30 years that you haven't worked out in the workforce. Fast tracking. But it got me to a place where I got stuck in my comfort zone. And I betrayed my values, and I came up with excuses, you know, why? Because I knew in one of the last roles I was in where upper management was bullying me, I knew that I needed to get out. I knew that I was, but it was a big job. I was up early. I was out at the airport looking after 7 locations, 50 plus staff, long, long hours. And I kept saying, I need to go and I need to do it on my terms. But I never actually sat down. I had all the excuses as to why I couldn't look for the next job. I'm so tired. And finally, they got me out by creating my role to be redundant. And you know what? That was a blessing. One, I got a payout. Two, my health had taken a turn. I'd put on 20 kilos, which had never happened to me before. And really, I didn't get a job for about 11 months, and it was the best thing that could have happened, because I really started to come back and take control. I hired a personal trainer, got my health right. I had a lot of opportunity to go, you know what, I'm in my 50s now, and I saw what I'd done. I saw where I'd got stuck. I saw, you know, I'd been teaching this stuff as well, but, you know, it can happen to the best of us. And I really broke down and examined what I'd done to myself in not living the life that I love. In getting stuck, in not pushing myself past that comfort zone. And, you know, I got involved with a multi-level marketing company, and then I got a coach, because I basically said, help me build this business. I don't want to be at the mercy of, you know, something like this again. And then when I get this business running, maybe then I can come back into the thing that I'm passionate about, which is transformation and empowering people. And maybe, you know, then I could build it into a coaching business. And she coached me once, and she went, oh, for God's sake, hey, you are a coach. So we flipped, and I found myself, you know, coming back to what I love. I had another role then. I'd mastered all the bullying stuff. I had a great team of women that I was training and coaching and developing in sales and presentation. And you know, things, something had to give because I was doing my daytime job. I was being coached. I was rebuilding my coaching and doing coaching and developing programs and things like that. And I knew that it would have to give at some point. And then COVID came and my role was made redundant. Just at the time I'm thinking, I think I need to, you know, give up the day job. And, and it was like, okay, you know, universe has spoken and here I am back full time doing what I love, well and truly armed with more skills and I think even more relatable to the women that I work with after going back out and being in that workforce and experiencing that. You know, if I'd just been doing all of this for 30 years, I think there'd be an element where some women would go, yeah, but you don't know about this because you've run your own business for 30 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I really honed in on the women that I wanted to work with were the women that I'd become back then, you know, getting, wanting to create a change in a particular area of life, getting stuck, coming up with the excuses, the unconscious starting to rule, and that self-betrayal. And I thought, no, this is really where I want to help women in particular, because it happens to all of us. We all want to create a change and the process is the same. It doesn't matter if it's in health and well-being or finances or relationships or your job or business or career. It's all the same process to be able to get and make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why do you think so many of us get stuck, you know, in the kind of daily routine and are scared to go beyond our comfort zone? Why do you think that's such a difficult thing for people?
And yeah, a lot of people actually start off like, you know, we're in the new year and all those new year resolutions and they mean well, but usually when we want to create a change in a particular area of our life, it means we're going to have to grow, you know, like we're aspiring to that change. Do you know what I mean? Hence you sort of set it as that goal. Now a lot of people, they're never action. Some people start to action and then get stuck. Because it's a little bit like having a double elastic band around us. So I've got the elastic band around the familiar, where I am right now, and then I start to move and then I'm going to move beyond where it feels really comfortable. And I don't know who I am in that next state. And so, you know, the elastic band to the new is pulling you towards that, but then the old one gets incredibly tight. Now, that's at the moment where all the unconscious false stories and beliefs start to really arc up and play out. And that's when we come up with the excuses like, I haven't got time, I haven't got the money, you know, I don't know enough, I'm not good enough, whatever it might be. It will all just be the excuses that are actually being fed by those unconscious stories and beliefs. And they're there designed to hold us in what feels familiar and safe.
So you know what? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say you stay in the familiar and safe too long and it's really not the comfort zone. It's a really uncomfortable place to be and it's where we flatline.
I love that actually because the comfort zone really can be super depressing and sad and hard and a struggle and uncomfortable. So it is funny that it is called the comfort zone. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So you also talk about asking what our subconscious is always saying yes to. Can you explain what this means and how to identify those yeses or what we're saying yes to?
Yeah. Well, the subconscious is basically saying yes to everything. And we've got two ways to guide it. We've got the unconscious, which predominantly rules until we become consciously aware of it. And then we've got what's termed the superconscious, but I like to term that the voice of our knowing. You know, people will call it intuition. I prefer to call it knowing because to me that's like the stake in the ground.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know, yeah?
Yes.
Whereas intuition, people sort of talk about, oh, you know, it's that ethereal kind of intangible thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you my voice of knowing, you know, it's taking real ownership of that and it's full of our power and potential. So the subconscious is going, yes. So you feel like you're not good enough. Great. Let's create something in your life so you can respond from not feeling good enough. Right. So it's creating everything that we're sort of basically asking of it.
Right, right.
Now, the key is to understand that when we're getting past our comfort zone, that one, all those stories are false. They're not real. We've got to stop right. associating as though they're real. They feel real in the emotional body, but they're actually, they're false stories and non-truths.
Right, right.
Right. And now if we listen to that and we let that guide our subconscious knowingly, we've basically put ourselves in the passenger seat of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're not driving.
Right.
That is. Instead of going, you know what, the more I develop that knowing, mm-hmm. the more I listen to that guidance, the more I follow that, the more I feed that, that is then directing the subconscious to our desired experiences and outcomes that we aspire to.
So you also talk about personal leadership. Does that relate into being your own personal leader? Is that the kind of concept?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what leadership is for me, where we can all lead ourselves mm-hmm. from within. So understanding how the mind works, you know, understanding how the emotions work, understanding that energetic spiritual element of us and that internal voice. Now, that internal voice of knowing, or intuition, if you like to call it, is actually coming from a future now moment. Mm-hmm. So it's coming from an aspect of us that's basically saying, hey, come, you've already done it. Mm-hmm. Like, Nika, create a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you get that idea. That's actually coming from the part of you that's already created it and successful in it.
Yeah. I love that. I know for me, one of the quotes I remember seeing was, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's, if you want to rise, first you have to be quiet, or it's something along those lines. And the idea is that if you want to rise above something or create something, you first have to be still and quiet and connect with your knowing, connect with that voice in your head or the your God or whatever it is to get the answers you need to push you in the right direction.
And that's why I think at the beginning, before we were recording, I was saying, you know, meditation mm-hmm. for me is that foundation, that absolute root system of the beginning of all change.
Mm-hmm.
Because in there we get to command our own energy and know what our own energy feels like, and most people don't. Mm-hmm. And we are energetic beings, you know, this has been proven.
Yes.
All things are energy. And we're always interacting with our environment and the people around us. So a lot of people don't even realize that a lot of their thoughts and feelings may not actually be their own.
Right. Yeah.
That we're tapping into others and the environment around us. So when I take people through meditation and I start talking about that, so much change already starts to happen when they implement some of that, because they start to know what their own energy feels like, their own thoughts, their own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know when they're being encroached upon by an outside mm-hmm. source.
Yeah.
So you can come back to that. And then it's the witness and that sort of turning our vision inwards and sort of that going within and, yeah, amplifying that voice of knowing or that intuitive voice or whatever you like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can utilize that to direct the subconscious. So the subconscious is saying yes to that, not yes to the you can't, you haven't got time, you're not good enough, don't know enough, you know, whatever it might be.
And I think it's important too, because you can use, at least in my experience, you can use the connection with the knowing or that power to really just give you the baby steps. Like, what is the next right thing to do? What is the next baby step I need to take to get closer to what I really want or what the ultimate goal is you're working towards, or, you know, even as silly as what to eat for lunch kind of a thing. It gives you that kind of clarity.
It's
really, really a beneficial tool.
Yeah, I hear you, definitely. And I've utilized it because of my shamanic healing side as well, in processes in my coaching. So, you know, one of my clients is up-leveling her business and she's a mum to three young kids and she's now taking on some employees. And, you know, there was a process where something old came up for her, an old unconscious belief. And there are many ways that we can sort of start to dissolve this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just need to go, I'm putting that in the passenger seat and I'm driving anyway.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? People sometimes they use that moment as an excuse. Oh, I need to go heal this. I need to go and see someone to change this. No, you don't. Just be aware that it's your old unconscious pattern. Put it in the passenger seat and you keep taking action. It's there because you're actually about to grow.
Yeah.
But there are other times where you do need to sort of pull it out like a little bit of a root system. So I got this woman to actually go into a meditative place and she actually then projected and spoke to the part of her that didn't let that belief hold her back. Right?
That's
and
amazing.
She saw where this aspect was of her, confident, walking on a stage and talking to a lot of people. And so I got her to watch her and, you know, what did her body feel like? What did it, you know, what did everything feel like, smell like, taste like? And then she actually asked for, you know, some bit of guidance on, you know, what's your advice for me?
Yeah.
Since you didn't take on that belief back here and this is where you've ended up and this is how you're feeling, what's your advice?
Right.
And it's every time I do this with myself or with others, it's so powerful. You know, just one thing was said to her. You know, just don't listen to 50% of it. And in the meditation, she's like, what? And herself said it, don't listen to 50% of it.
Yeah.
And then she came out and she got it. And she had aligned herself then with that aspect and she felt fired up again. She felt confident. She knew what she was moving towards.
I love that. That's,
do you know what I mean?
So yeah, I mean, it's such a powerful tool to create your own transformation, to really take that control into your own hands.
And she was listening to her own advice.
Yeah. What an odd thing to do instead of, listening to other people. Absolutely. Does this play into, you also talk about the importance of setting boundaries with different areas of your life. Does this play into the same kind of thing as understanding the guidance that you get from the knowing to set those boundaries?
Yes. And generally what I do is I get people to do what I term sort of a time audit, you know, so they track everything they're doing for a couple of weeks from, oh, I've just suddenly checked Facebook again, or I've, you know, I'm distracted, everything. And it's amazing because people will suddenly go, oh my God, I can't believe how much time I'm wasting.
Yeah.
So then you take that time and then we look at every area of someone's life. And we set boundaries and some, you know, the people think the boundaries are I will let you do this or I won't. Do you know what I mean? That is part of boundaries. But another part is allocating time so that we can actually have it all.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you reclaim that time and you go, you know what my boundary is, for example, meditation is really important to me for my well-being, health and well-being. So instead of going, I haven't got time, I've got all this extra time here, I'm going to set a boundary and say, I'm going to meditate minimum of 3 times a week, minimum for 15 minutes. Do you know? So all we have to do to honor ourselves is it's not the length of time, it's the fact that we've honored it.
Yes. Yeah.
So even if it's, and if we set the minimum, if we set the boundary around the minimum, you're free to go over that. But you can commit to that. Like it might be a 10-minute walk, you know, 4 times a week minimum.
Right.
And then you start to see the possibility and the same thing sort of around your finances, around relationships. And then women find that we actually do have enough time to have it all. Time for self, time for others, time for relationships. And we also work out what are the stabilizers in life. So the stabilizers are the things that are as important to us as the air we breathe and the water that we need to stay alive. And these are the things that women generally discard, and this is what creates the overwhelm. So stabilizers for me, definitely a meditation. It's definitely exercise, journaling, and time for connection. With friends or family or,
Now,
they're things that it's like, okay, so I'm very clear and I set my boundaries around they are my stabilizers. So when I give them up, I'm dropping the ball in life. Do you know what I mean? Because they're the things that sustain me. So
each individual is going to have their own stabilizers, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the things you look. Now, these are the things that when I was running a group the other year and we went through the Christmas break, I the first time we came back, I'm like, who dropped the ball? Because I knew everyone would have, and they put their hands. And it's because routine changes.
Right.
So whenever routine changes, we need to revisit our boundaries in these given areas, because a lot of them then don't work. They've got children, so they take the break with the kids, and then it all becomes about the kids and everything's, you know, and it's when they maintain their stabilizers regardless. And these are the non-negotiables in our lives. Then they actually get through those breaks less stressed at the end of it.
Yeah. I think that's something that's really been present during COVID as well, with people being home. We don't have our normal, you know, get up, get dressed, go to work, that whole kind of routine. And so people have really lost their routine when it comes to their health and wellness as well, simply because they don't have those same expectations from their career.
Yeah. And I think, again, the key is, when anything changes, we need to revisit our boundaries. Do you know what I mean? And the boundaries are also like in relationship, what will I accept? What won't I? Like in my career, the boundary became, I will no longer put myself in a position where I'm treated like that. I don't care whether they're a general manager or a, you know, or staff. It's like, these are now, they're my boundaries.
Right.
I train myself for the sake of a dollar.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, when anything changes, that's when we need to come back and reassess our boundaries. And COVID was a great one because it just completely threw everybody. Everything just dramatically changed.
Yeah.
Which had to force the change internally. And the people that haven't done that examination and the change and, oh, my God, what now?
Yeah.
You know, tapped in for that personal leadership and that guidance of, well, how do I now adapt to the life that is before me?
Yeah.
If you don't do it again, everything's just blurred. It's like pieces of straw blowing in the wind are an absolute mess. You know, gather them up and bind them and you've got a dart that can kill a mighty beast. But if everything's just, it's just mess, if it's all just floating around unaddressed.
Right. And it's interesting. I've seen, you know, it seemed like, I don't know about where you're at, but it seemed like a lot of people here in the States, at least, you know, so I know it's opposite seasons for us. For us, it was spring and summer. So, you know, starting kind of March, going through probably September-ish, people were really holding on to, you know, this is hard, this is difficult, you know, my routine's messed up. They hadn't really mentally made that shift yet. And then kind of September, October-ish, people were like, all right, we really are in this for the long haul. We have to really start to figure out what our lives are going to look like and how to get routines back in. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of people make the shift of like, this is the new normal, at least for a while. And so I need to get back into those routines. And I feel like the people that have made those shifts or attempted to make those shifts or set those kind of new boundaries have really moved into the new year a lot more joyful or with more hope. And the people who still haven't made those boundaries yet or aren't willing to kind of let go yet and understand that it's the new normal still feel kind of stuck or suffocated or disconnected.
But you see how easily influenced we are by the external.
Yeah.
And that the very nature is when something changes, a lot of the time en masse people are hoping that will just go away.
Yes.
And that's because, you know, we really do have to realize the power is in our hands. It's within us.
Yes.
And again, all that unconscious fear stuff can come up. And you know what? Fear to me is a signpost we're heading in the right direction. You know, when suddenly you get that idea and then the fear starts to follow. It's basically saying, you know what? You are heading in the right direction, but you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to change, you know?
Yeah.
And so the people that finally do, they come to accept, okay, so this is the new norm for now and we don't know how long and adapt, they've broken that old elastic band, that familiar.
Yeah.
They would have had their really uncomfortable moment and they've just continued to lean in and face it to change it for themselves. So nothing externally changed in terms of COVID still there, but they changed something internally.
Yes.
To look through different lenses and go, right.
Absolutely.
Now what do I do? Yeah. But it takes a while because it is that comfort zone and it is that, oh, hopefully this will all just suddenly disappear until we learn we have to adapt.
Yeah. I love talking about changing our lens, you know, looking at it differently, taking a new kind of perspective at what's going on and identify that, well, this is a huge challenge and extraordinarily difficult for everyone across the planet, that there also are a lot of benefits that have come with it. You know, we've had quality time with our immediate families, at least, or we've had time to, you know, binge TV if that's what we wanted to do, or, you know, take time to cook or things like that. There are fun things that have come out of it. And so I think really changing that perspective has been beneficial.
Yeah. And I think it connects people because everyone's in it across the globe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's been an amazing part of it. Definitely is to understand kind of our roles in how we are connected with everybody around the planet.
Yeah, and I too love those conversations around lenses because it really is about a choice of how you look at something.
Right, right.
You know, and that's a choice to start examining the beliefs we have, the thoughts that we have, the patterns of how we respond, and we can actually choose to change all of that. So, you know, when this first happened, COVID, and it's like we'll use this as the example. Oh my God, this is so terrible. This is so terrible. If we just start to go, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me, but what's the opportunity in this? What's the gift in this for me?
Yeah.
And I've had people when I've asked questions, like, there is no gift. And it's sort of like, just, you don't have to answer it right now, but take that a little bit deeper. Everyone comes up with an answer for themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just by making the choice, asking ourselves the question to go, I'm just going to look at this differently. What's the opportunity? What's the gift in this for me that I can't yet see right now?
I think that plays into the language we use. And you talk about using or creating a powerful language and then also creating a power statement. So it kind of plays into that. Can you talk a little bit about why it's so important to have powerful language and a power statement?
Well, again, everything's energy. So, you know, everything has a vibrational frequency to it and it either uplifts, you know, expands or contracts it. And anyone knows that when you start, you know, making powerful statements and things, you actually, you know, we start to grow into that. But it has to have power for the individual. So a lot of people have said to me, oh, affirmations don't work. And I go, no, they don't. And they're like, oh, okay, why not? Well, one, we say too many of them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like watering everything down.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go for the center of the dartboard, go for the center of the dartboard, you know, hit that goal. Second one is we use too much filler language. Now, we know that a word can harm or it can heal. It can make another person feel small or feel more. So we know that language has power and words have power.
Right, right.
And, it's also about so much of what we are after. It's actually not a lot of things. So if you can create power statements and never have more than about five or six, right, because, again, that covers everything that you desire. Now, here's the thing. I've come to understand because I've worked with this for a really long time that it's really powerful to go, I choose, therefore I am. And the I am is that divine essence. It's all that there is. So if you say, I choose to live a life I love, that's like the stake in the ground. That's the ownership. You can feel it when you say, I choose to live a life above. Therefore, I am living a life I love. Do you see the power in that?
Yeah,
I'm choosing it. Therefore, I'm living it.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. Yeah, and I think it helps kind of shift again that perspective again.
Yeah. So, and then the aim is, you know, in the morning I would say I choose therefore I am, then throughout the rest of the day it's just I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then going off to bed at night I'll lay there and I'm a genius supplying my wisdom, I'm intelligent and I find it easy to learn, you know, I retain information easily, I'm trim, tone, fit, fabulous and flexible, you know, whatever it might be, yeah.
Yeah.
And because you've only got five and they're like just nailing every area of my life,
mm-hmm.
That's got power to it. If I do more than five or so, I start to water it down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And it gets us to look at what am I really after here? You know, what am I really saying?
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of people will write it out. It's like, well, God, do you need all those words?
Yeah.
What are you really saying? What are you really going for? And then when it has power, it has a little bit of a spark that happens within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's aligning us almost electrically to that statement, and then it creates a feeling.
Right.
And then if we can create like a short movie in our mind, you know, like when you watch a movie and you see the trailer and it's all the best bits,
mm-hmm.
you go, basically in the trailer I saw the whole movie.
Right.
So if we do that for the life that we're wanting to create and the outcomes that we want, and we've got the power statements that sort of, oh, you know, give us that bit of a buzz, and then you create a little bit of a movie trailer just with all the key bits in it, that actually then starts to fire up the emotional body
mm-hmm.
to align with the and the mindset, you know, because you've got the words, you've got the imagery, you've got the feeling starting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it reminds me of, I can't remember the gentleman who does it, but there's another coach who talks about kind of deep diving into knowing your why. And it's really about pulling out all of the excess and really getting specific about those kind of statements. And he does it's a seven question kind of backwards question. So basically what it is, you know, you ask like, you know, what do you want in life? And then the person gives an answer. And then you ask the person kind of the same answer, but you ask back, well, why do you want that? And you continue to do that cycle seven times till you get to the real deep root. And it's usually just a word or two. It's like freedom or joy or, love or something like that. And so it's a tool that might help people reach those clarity statements or those power statements.
Yeah. And I have, I turned a one-day workshop called Power Up Your Life into a free resource on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. You've got the workbook and then you've got some videos with me working you through it. But there are these questions and things that you ask yourself to actually find out where some of your beliefs have come from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the limiting stuff, the limiting beliefs, the limiting statements, you know, and it's never a blame game. It's more like, oh, my God, okay, this is where I got this from. So then you can create the direct opposite
mm-hmm.
in your power statements. And so it's a little bit like learning to understand and recognize what's in that unconscious
mm-hmm.
because once you become conscious of it, then you can start to change it.
You also have a 12-week group coaching program as well. Does this play into that program or what does that program look like?
So that program basically for 12 weeks. So you do the trainings on the Mondays, the pre-recorded trainings, and then we all get together on Zoom and I only take eight women at a time in the group one mm-hmm. because I don't want people to get lost.
You're right.
You know, they have the value, the support, and a space and a platform for them to be heard and seen and so that they can have their transformation. But we look at all these different areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at where we're limiting ourselves in the way that we're thinking and speaking and actioning. We gain the understanding of the mind and mm-hmm. how that's influencing us, where we're at a particular point in our growth process so that you can actually lean in and keep actioning. So I say getting back into the driver's seat
right.
and not using excuses. And part of it is just the understanding of that cycle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the reclaiming of the time and the resetting of the boundaries. And as we go through the unfolding of this, it's more and more that the women start to align with, oh, my God, I can have a life I love.
Yeah.
I can have that and that.
Yes. Yeah.
And have my family time and quality and my business or my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And my fitness and my, do you know what I mean? We actually can. People are always saying, well, I can't now that I'm a mother, or I can't because of the job that I've got. Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the transformation is also just the understanding of, okay, fear's there for a reason. You're getting ready to grow. So then it becomes your friend. It's your signpost. It's not your enemy.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And then also learning that we have set capacities for allowing and deserving.
Mm-hmm.
So we start to also examine that and where the tipping point comes in. So if we've got a set capacity, for example, with money,
mm-hmm.
pre-programmed within us, then every time you go past that capacity, you're going to find a reason to get rid of more money to bring you back to that set capacity.
Right.
So, you know, you quite often hear people going, oh, my God, I get so far and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, or the same thing when within a relationship with your capacity to connect and your capacity for love, that's when suddenly, you know, someone goes, I don't know, we just ended up in this argument.
Mm-hmm.
It was all over nothing.
Yeah.
No, it was over the fact that you needed to bring yourself back. So we examine the tipping points as well so that, you know, you can expand your capacity for more very consciously.
Yeah.
And this is what I did when I went back out into the workforce. You know, I ended up in retail and then it's like, oh, my God, it's exhausting in retail. Yeah, and hours. And then I'm like, that's not paying me enough. I'm no longer going to work weekends. You know, I started to reset and then I expanded my capacity for more. And each role I went into, it kept then fitting mm-hmm. that new capacity. So in the end, it's like, oh, I'm going to play with this some more. Right, I'm going for this amount. I will not work weekends and I'm going to get a car thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. In my last three jobs, I had a vehicle or a vehicle allowance.
Amazing. Yeah, you know, it's interesting to kind of set those. They're kind of goals / boundaries, like what your minimum expectations are in a sense.
Yeah, and you expand it and you don't blow it out. When people go to blow it out, it's a little bit like this. Okay, here's a great way to put it. If you're going to have a game of tennis, right,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to play with someone that's really below your skill set, because you already go on there going, well, there's no point trying. I've got this. Do you know what I mean? There's no fun in that because there's no difference.
It's always right? good to be like planning for one or two steps ahead of where you're at so that it's challenging and interesting, yet still attainable, and you don't just run in the other direction.
And this is why you don't blow it out too big, because if I was getting on, or you were getting on that court with a professional tennis player, you would step on there already defeated, wouldn't
yes.
you?
Yeah.
I have got a hope in hell of winning this match.
Yeah.
So don't go on there with any oomph in you, because you've already given up
mm-hmm.
before you start.
I think,
but if you play someone that's a little bit better than you, but you've got that chance, you go on that court and you play full out, because there is that possibility I could pull this off.
Absolutely. I think that's such a good mindset for entrepreneurs as well, simply because a lot of times you see people who are like, I'm going to shoot for a 7-figure business. And, you know, if I don't make it, I failed. And you go through the first year and you haven't made 7 figures because hardly any businesses make 7 figures, especially in the first year, you know. But if you've reached your first 5,000 goal or 10,000 goal or 50,000 goal or whatever it is, you know, those are really great goals to hit. And so understanding that, you know, you don't have to just blow it out, like you say, you know, you can kind of make it more attainable.
It's so powerful that you say that too, because a lot of people are also setting big audacious goals, but they're not their own goals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we find out too in the coaching. It's like, you know, so many people have then gone and have changed something because it wasn't their goal to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually coming from mom or from dad or some expectation or for someone else, or, oh, that's what success means. And a lot of people that have gone for 7-figure incomes, if they actually really examine it, is that what you really, really desire?
Yeah.
Or is that what you think as an entrepreneur and a business that's what you should be achieving to be successful?
And I think also taking a moment to understand, you know, what it's not just the joy or the excitement or the money that comes from making seven figures, but you also understand the flip side of that, or what are some of the negative things that come with that? Did you lose your health in the process? Did you lose relationships in the process? Did you lose your freedom because you're working 80 hours a week in the process? You know, you hear people who became celebrities very quickly overnight. They found that the chaos that comes from being a celebrity was not something they actually wanted. And you see a lot of them kind of retract and move back into a more personal life because they didn't like all the other things that came with celebrity. So looking at the flip side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really important, because when people are creating the life they aspire to, you need to, I get people to write what I term a life script. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, it's the 5th of January, 2022, mm-hmm. and I'm writing a letter as though I'm writing you a letter, and I'm talking about already, mm-hmm. you know, some life script as if I've already lived it and done it. Now, the interesting thing is here, people romanticize the creation of their life, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? So like a relationship, oh, my God, and it's so wonderful, and we're like the perfect couple, and we're soulmates. Soulmates, by the way, can really trigger each other. Mm-hmm. That's for a fact. But, you know, it's all the romantic sort of stuff. And I'll say to them, well, how do you argue? Well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, most couples at times will have disagreements. How can you write in your life script about how you face those challenges? How well do you communicate? Like, let's get the reality in there. Or, you know, what about the challenges that you face that year? Rather than just those successes, how did you face the challenges? What strengths did you pull out of yourself? You see, so we've got to actually create in the life that we want and the outcomes that we want the whole picture, the light and the shadow.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's where people go a cropper, because it's all the romanticized areas of their life. Mm-hmm. If you've only ever been earning $80,000 and you're now going, oh, I'm going to go for seven-figure income, that's a lot of growth you have to go through. That's a lot of learning. Like, be careful what you ask for, girl.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
to get there, you've had an $80,000 capacity, mm-hmm. and now you're going, so how much are you going to have to change? How much are you going to have to learn? Mm-hmm. How much are you going to have to grow?
Yeah,
and growth isn't always, you know, it's not always comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
You've given birth to a baby, you know, that it's, you know, it's a lot of pressure at the end.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, encouraging people to look at their life from the light and from the shadow.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it, yeah.
And, you know, it's like when everyone goes, oh, my God, this year was such a shit of a year. When I go, but you say that every year. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for no challenges. Mm-hmm. Are you waiting for, in other words, you don't want to grow, you want to flatline. Mm-hmm. You want to stay in your comfort zone. But after a while, that's not comfortable.
Right.
Because we've got the calling from the voice of knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And it's funny because people all the time talk about not wanting these challenges. You know, they just want to have an easy life and do all these things. But then you look at an example is people have been able to sit on their couch and binge watch TV and hang out and not really have to do anything. And they're miserable and they want to go out and they want to do things and they want to learn things. Well, doing things and learning things and experiences also are challenges. And so really understanding that easy and simple isn't always the right answer.
Yeah. And if you look back throughout your life, I always say this to people, where have you faced a challenge like this before?
Mm-hmm.
And then how did it feel when you overcame it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see people's bodies, like you can see the power come into them. It was amazing. And I go, so this is the pattern. You've had a challenge, you overcome it, and then you feel amazing.
Right.
That's why we have the challenge.
Absolutely.
To grow, and then we feel amazing. Well, then the next cycle's going to have to happen.
Right. Absolutely.
That's what I love. The same as in my program and in my coaching, I'm teaching people tools and the cycle of creating change,
mm-hmm.
so that they can go away going, this is going to come around again. you know, because I'm going to aspire to another area that I want to change. So, okay, it's a little bit like a roadmap.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which makes it very, I've had this idea to do something. I'm starting to do it. Now fear's taking over. I know exactly where I am. I know exactly what's happening. I've been here before.
And because you've done that, you have tools in your back pocket that you can pull out to kind of overcome those challenges.
Yeah. But part of the thing is that acceptance of these are the cycles that we have, and we have them because we feel amazing then when we grow beyond where we've been before and we face that challenge.
Right. And
what's a challenge, or is it just an opportunity?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's that shift again. It's that mindset shift. Absolutely.
Again. Yeah.
Like, do you offer, go ahead.
Or am I being victorious? Or am I being victorious? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you offer tools or resources that individuals can use to kind of help start on this journey of making this kind of transformation? And where can listeners connect with you online?
Yes. Well, either on Facebook or go to my website. I actually have, so kayedoran.com. Mm-hmm. There I've got the Power Up Your Life workshop, which is great. And again, that workbook, you can just keep revisiting. I've had women that have done that workshop when I was running it here in Perth 6, 7, 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can keep asking the same questions and delving deeper and deeper and deeper. But the thing is, have the desire to do the change. Mm-hmm. They can also then go on, and I've got 3 guided meditations there. Remember, I said meditation is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Of all. It's the foundation of it all, because it's that learning to turn our vision inwards. It's like plugging into the source. It amps up that connection to our voice of knowing, power, and potential. It's absolutely where we get to, you know, examine the lenses that we're wearing. I call it, you know, turning the vision back in on ourselves, and also to master our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And our mind, because our mind goes to where our energy's at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I keep going back to when Dad did this, or because that's where your energy is.
Right.
So you start commanding back to be in the here and now.
Yeah. I think it adds, it's a piece of control that you then have that you can really, take charge of.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen to that wisdom that's within every single one of us.
Absolutely.
And that's so important, because, you know, we've been talking about goals and things and, you know, taking action and all the rest of it. Why, you know, you're talking about the why.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that people get stuck on is the how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's another one of those excuses to keep us locked into non-action.
Yeah.
The whole thing is you don't need to know the how. That's where that intuitive, that guided knowing voice comes in.
Right, right.
We follow that. Do you know what I mean? You just need to know the end result. You need to know the steps to take.
Well, and
I
think that goes back to that, the listening to the knowing is it'll give you the next right step. It'll give you the answer to the next baby step. So if you don't know what it is, just pause for a moment and ask and listen. And
I think that the first thing for listeners is, you know, dare to live the life you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have the right to live a life we love.
Yeah.
And someone else, that might be really big stuff and big dollars and big homes and all the rest of it. You know, someone said to me the other day, Kay, if you won the $30 million, mm-hmm. would you move house? And I went, no.
Yeah.
Instantly, like, no. I'd do some renovations, but I love my home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the great big grand. I mean, I'm about to be 56, so I'm getting to the point where I don't want a massive home to look after. But you know, when we all examine what is the life that you love, like ask yourself, what would a life I love look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, it's not working Mondays so I can look after my grandson when my daughter's ready to go back to work. Do you know what I mean? So I can catch up with friends, and it's not all the big major dollars. It's not all the, you know, jet setting stuff for me. It's just a really simple, abundant, connected life with the people around me.
I love that. I used to run a coaching program that I created called Dare to Design. And the whole idea was going through a process to design your own life. And really, there was a lot that went into it. But the main idea was to be brave enough to actually design the life you want to live, opposed to living in the passenger seat. So I think that's powerful.
And if money were no object, if time were no object, without thinking of what could possibly limit you, if fear didn't exist, mm-hmm. What's the life you love?
What would you do? Yeah. Well, Kay, I have one more question for you, but before I get to that question, I just want to acknowledge you for a moment. The work that you've done to help so many women, the work that you're doing to just make an impact in the world, I think it's truly powerful and truly, truly needed, especially in these days of chaos and overstimulation and kind of everyone overworking. I think it's such a great thing. And I just want to say thank you to you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Can I give one tip?
Yes.
Or at the end of it, fear. Fear is the thing that grabs hold of people. And this has really just come to mind, so I feel like it's important to share. People don't know what to do with that fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. They see it as a negative, mm-hmm. so therefore it becomes a negative. And when something's a negative, people are trying to suppress it. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to get rid of that.
Right.
Okay. So I don't believe in getting rid of anything. Mm-hmm. I believe everything has the right to its existence.
Yes.
We need to know how to calm it down. So for anyone that's going through change or they've got fear there that's suppressing them from taking action or moving forwards, mm-hmm. this is a really simple yet powerful process. So you can pick someone to do this with or just a piece of paper, get your mm-hmm. journal out. Now, if you're doing this with another person, you need to set it up so they're not responding back to you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're just the person for you to look at in the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you say this or you write this. These are my fears. They're not my truth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to name your fears. I'm afraid that my business won't continue to grow. I'm afraid that I can't lose that one. I'm at whatever it might be, right? Other person isn't responding. They're just that connection for mm-hmm. you. And then you can finish off by saying, those were my fears. Mm-hmm. Now, these are my truths. Okay? And then you say the direct opposite.
Yeah.
So you've effaced the fear. You've actually addressed it. You've gone eyeball to eyeball with it. But you've not fed it.
Right. Yeah.
You've just acknowledged it.
And then you can, again, kind of set it aside and focus on the truths and just, again, do those little baby steps and move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really, you know, occasionally I'll sit there and go to my husband, okay, I need to do these are my fears. Do you know what I mean? And he knows. He doesn't need to say anything. He doesn't need to solve anything. And I'll just say, these are my fears. They're not my truth. And then I'll go through the fears. They were my fears. Now here is my truth. And then it goes into the I am, you know?
Yeah. I think... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that when you try to suppress it, that's when it gets louder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we listen to these aspects of ourselves, that's when it quietens down, you know, and you might need to come back and revisit, but it's a powerful process, but really simple.
Yeah, I think there's power in actually just saying it to another person as well, even if they're not saying anything back, because you know, as powerful as writing and using a journal is, I think saying it out loud, you know, I think that's kind of the power of therapy, talk therapy for people is literally just, it's a release from your body and it's saying it out loud and saying it to another human makes it kind of real in a sense, opposed to you can still suppress it if you're writing it down, right?
Yeah.
But you can't suppress it if you've told another person because it's out there, it's in the world then. Yeah. And so it's a way to release, I think.
You do just need to set them up with those guidelines.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You don't need to solve anything here. You don't need to say anything in return. You just need to be present. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. So my last question for you, and it may actually play into this, but what advice do you have for someone who wants to make change either in their life, in their community, or around the world?
Make the decision mm-hmm. and then get support. Mm-hmm. You know, get support. Go find a great coach or whatever it might be. you know, when I wanted to, excuse me, when I wanted to create change in, you know, saying goodbye to those 20 kilos and getting strong. And I went and found an amazing personal trainer, you know, because he knows my body better than I know my body in terms of what I can and what I cannot do. He'll make sure that I do it all the right way, you know, the same thing. So find the support, because if you're wanting to create change in an area, it means, again, you haven't experienced that next level of self. So really get the support, the help that you need. All that a healer is, or all that a coach is, there's someone that's a guide.
Yeah, absolutely.
They know the terrain, you know. And generally I always look for, people will say, how do you find a good coach? And I'll say, well, one, if they're giving you the tools for you to empower yourself and in your life, if they're living it and breathing it themselves, and a good coach or a good healer, which is truly only a guide, will have a coach themselves, or a good healer will get the work done themselves.
Absolutely. So
that's what I generally say to look for, and know that you can do it.
Yeah. I think a good example of how I kind of explain coaching in a sense, or having that kind of thing, is, you know, traveling from the base to Machu Picchu or Mount Everest or something like that. People don't tend to do that on their own. They tend to do it with a guide, somebody who has lived it or experienced it and knows the trail, knows the terrain, knows how to get it. You are still making that journey, though. You're still putting your foot in front of the next, you know, to get up those hills or up those mountains. The guide is just kind of showing you where to stop along the way, or kind of helping you stay on the path so that you don't get totally lost. And so it's still your journey, still your process, but it's just somebody that's lived it and experienced it and can help you kind of make it there a little bit easier.
Completely aligned with that statement, because I always used the story years ago when I went to Borneo, and I hired someone to take me to the top of the mountain so I could meet with some shamans, which was gorgeous, as they were women. I did that journey. Like, I took that journey for myself, but I needed to know the terrain. Show me the way. And here's another really interesting tip. People always want the guarantee. You are the guarantee.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You are the guarantee. If you're going to play all out, if you're going to apply yourself 100%, you'll get those results. If you only get onto the field of your life and play out 60%, you'll get 60% results.
Absolutely.
So you are the guarantee. You know, so important to understand.
I love it. It's so true. Yeah. Because the guide will do everything that they can to help get you there. But if you only decide to walk half the distance or 60% of the distance, that was your choice to put in that amount of effort. So absolutely. Yes. Well, Kate, this has been absolutely amazing. I just love your knowledge and experience, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure. And like I said, these conversations are important.
Because as
I shared from my story, it doesn't matter how long you've been the journey, we can all get stuck at times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big shout out to Kay for taking the time to share all of that amazing information with us. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, please leave a review and subscribe if you haven't already. And just let me know overall what you think of the show. I'd love to hear from you, hear topics that you're interested in or people you want to hear from. I thank you so much for your time. If you need help or support, reach out to me. I offer a free 30-minute health consultation. You can find that at healthandhustle.co. Again, that's healthandhustle.co. I also have a free healthy living guide that you can also find on my website. It's got lots of information and all kinds of cool affiliate discount codes. So be sure to go download that. Again, that's healthandhustle.co. I'm wishing you a wonderful day and a happy, healthy hustle. I'll see you next time. Hey, Nika here. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I truly hope you found value and inspiration. If you have, I'd be incredibly grateful if you took a moment to subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend who you think might benefit from our discussion, and of course, leave a review. Your feedback not only helps me grow the show and design it to help you grow as much as possible, but it also helps others find our show in the sea of podcasts out there. Do you have a burning question or a topic you're dying to hear about? Please check out the show notes where you can record your request. Your question or guest suggestion might just be the highlight of a future episode. There's one more thing I want to share with you before I let you go today. There's a chance to get a free 30-minute coaching session with me, which could be featured on an upcoming episode. It's a fantastic opportunity for personalized advice and growth, and who knows, our conversation could inspire countless others on their journey too. As you guessed it, the link is in the show notes, so please check it out and sign up if you're interested. Once again, thank you so much for listening in and joining me today. Don't forget to act on the things that you've learned today so you can become the person who has the life, the career, and the success of your dreams. I'm wishing you a happy, healthy hustle, my friend, and I'll see you in the next episode.